Welcome back. This is the Press of Atlantic City podcast about the week that was in Atlantic City. I'm Buzz Keough. I'm here with Christian Hetrick and Nicholas Huba.
We all made it in the same room this time.
That's the first time for everything. Christian, you were down at the Urban Land Institute where they were talking about the future of Atlantic City.
Probably my biggest takeaway, I'm sure Nick would agree, is the optimism around Atlantic City. You know, I think we talk a lot about the doom and gloom of the city with the financial situation and government, but these private sector guys, the developers, they are salvating. They think there's a great opportunity here. One of them was Evan Sanchez, who we know from This Is AC, and I think we have some audio of what he had to say today.
Okay, let's listen.
And for those of you that are familiar with the city, let me ask you a question. Where would you take a friend for a fantastic cocktail or a delicious meal, or maybe for the more freewheeling, a pub crawl? Let's fast forward to the next morning. Where would you go for a great cup of coffee, a killer brunch? Think about it for a second. Where'd you take your imaginary friend that day, that morning, that night? Very likely a big box casino, possibly on the boardwalk, or maybe a more premium location in the Marina District. Some of you may have taken your friend to Tanger Outlets The Walk. It's an outdoor mall right in the heart of the city. You saw it when you came in today. Lots of great shops there. We're fans of their model. We like to call it unboxing the box.
All right, that was Evan Sanchez. What is his role there in speaking today?
Well, actually, as I said earlier, people probably know him from This Is AC, which kind of promotes the city and kind of puts some positivity out there. But he was there kind of sort of as a developer, really. He's going to partner with Mark
Collazo.
Collazo, yes. Sorry, drew a blank for a moment. And they want to redo Tennessee Avenue, make it like the South Street of Atlantic City. Bars, coffee shops, ice cream, food.
An outdoor area, right?
An outdoor area, yeah. Pedestrian only, I believe is what he said, on the beach block of Tennessee Avenue.
And this is new. This is something we haven't talked about before or heard much about.
Yeah, I think this was kind of like their public debut for it. I had heard people talk about it in City Hall, but this was the first time they had really announced it. And they got a lot of positive feedback. I think they kind of stole the show. Everyone was asking questions.
They were the biggest thing there because they were talking about Stockton and all those other projects. But this to kind of be announced and thrown out everyone, he sold it as a millennial haven in a way,
yeah.
Like for everyone to go down there and enjoy.
Where have we heard that before?
Bart Blatstein, maybe
it'll stick this time.
And as a millennial, I was very interested.
Were you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, good.
Well,
tell us about it.
I mean, South Street, I think, was the great comparison. I mean, like, who doesn't want to just, like, walk down one area? That was the one thing that Evan kind of focused on, that, you know, the Iron Room is on one side of the city, then Garner's Basin's all the way, you know, somewhere else. The idea of having one block where you can get food, drink, entertainment, and not be inside a casino.
Did they make the South Street reference?
Yes.
Yes. One thing that was interesting, I'm going to play devil's advocate on the whole millennial thing. I think it was brought up at the thing, but where are the millennials coming from? And I think that's an issue, too. Like,
Stockton.
You think they're coming from Stockton?
Well, if the Stockton campus comes to Atlantic City, I mean, these kids have to find a place to party that's perhaps not in a casino if they're not old enough to gamble. So that could be it in Tennessee Avenue.
And how soon before you start to see this? I mean, when are they going to have this? This doesn't sound like a heavy lift as a project. A great concept, but it doesn't
They were talking about a couple months, basically.
To start construction.
And they didn't really give it a full timetable, I didn't think.
I think the issue they have is they still need tenants. So they are obviously going to have their property and do whatever they want to do. But it's kind of like they compare it to chicken and the egg. They kind of have to start first and then hope, you know, what if they build it, kind of they will come sort of thing.
It goes in line with kind of what's going on around the city. You know, we talk about how desperate the finances are in the government side, but they're having $1 billion worth of investment over 48 blocks in the private sector.
Who gave you that number?
It came from, I think it was Leo gave us, that was one of Leo's numbers.
$1 billion, okay. Joe Kelly from the Greater AC talked about it.
This became a point they went heavy on today. And if you think about like a city that size having that kind of investment over a 48 block area. A lot of cities would never see that.
Do they feel that this, like, you're just not seeing it, and that's why the importance of giving the number that this is coming, or
I think a lot of it is under construction. So obviously Stockton, South Jersey Gas is still just a raised lot.
Burai.
The Burai project is just a raised lot. So obviously Bart Blatstein and Glenn Straub have to do whatever they're going to do.
Were they there?
No, they were not.
But a lot of these things haven't come to fruition yet, so perhaps we forget that it's going to happen eventually.
And one interesting thing, today it seemed like it was, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, the Urban Land Institute was a PR event to get out there and get people talking about the positives in the city compared to like other things that have happened with press conferences with Christie and Guardian, that kind of stuff, and give everyone maybe a little hope going forward now.
Yeah. So maybe they packaged all this today and brought to, you know, Harvey Kesselman was there, right? He spoke.
Of course.
Waseem Barai, he was on the agenda.
He was on the agenda, but he didn't make it. He had a schedule conflict, they said.
But his project is one of the ones they're touting. The Urban Land Institute's kind of a big deal, at least I think so, to get a think tank group like that to come in and help the city. I think that's a good move to bring in outside help, especially when you're talking about reinventing a city.
Yeah, and I agree, and I think it brought, you know, there's probably close to about 100 people, would you say, Nick?
Yeah, and they were all engaged, too, which I found interesting.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people are optimistic. I mean, that's what was so surprising. I mean, just talking to the people who run the flagship hotel, I mean, you know, they have a project coming soon, like, you know, outdoor area. It's one person, one attorney said he compared it to like 1970s Miami Beach, that like when it was like very like depressed at that point, I guess.
South Beach.
Right. People got in. And so some of these people, they're bullish on Atlantic City.
Well, the land is just so cheap. Yeah. And you can't turn down that kind of oceanfront, blocks from the ocean kind of land. And that's what even Evan said. You know, they're paying pennies on the dollar, basically.
For the property on Tennessee Avenue, yeah.
Is that still going to be the case? Are the land prices going up?
I think you could see it's starting to trend up as more people kind of look in, because competition for properties is going to drive prices up, and I think you might see that soon.
I'm sure Atlantic City will be happy to see land values go up, because that'll mean more money in their municipal budget. Well, what else was hot there? What are the five takeaways from this meeting? I mean, what are the five things that surprised you guys?
The $1 billion figure, that was for sure. The Tennessee Avenue, again, I mean, that stole the show. I mean, I think no one really was aware of that project, and everyone, you know, asked questions. Evan Sanchez and Mark had like a whole line of people waiting to talk to them afterwards.
Stockton kind of turned, they want to turn it into a college town, which was very interesting considering where it's been for 40 years now, a gaming area. They want to bring it into a more younger crowd, and we'll see if that actually works.
I mean, we talk about this a lot. Were there any casinos there, any casino leadership?
I didn't see any.
I didn't see any either, no.
So it really does seem like this is a reinvention that's not going to include casinos as
the word is always diversification. So, mm-hmm. I mean, there's still a $2 billion gambling industry that's, you know, probably stabilized, and that's going to be there, but it's building upon that with other things. Education with Stockton and other forms of entertainment, like Tennessee Avenue.
There was one thing that Sanchez said in his remarks to you or to the group, and that was, we want to, what was it, unbox the box?
Yeah.
Yes.
We've talked about this, but I don't know that we've talked about it enough. The design of the city under casinos was very inward looking and not at all.
Well, you'd go and you never left. Go into a casino and everything was there. Drinking, partying, all that kind of stuff is there, and you don't have to leave. So why would you go out to the boardwalk? And I think that's one of the things, I think we've talked before about this. These kind of projects, while look great on paper, you have to finally get them outside the casinos. And how do you do that? Maybe this is the first project that really does that.
Stockton will get students walking through the parks to their dorms from the housing, and they think the boardwalks are great and has always been a great public street for people to just kind of people watch and use. So sounds like a lot of good things are happening. On the city front, there was some news, good news for Atlantic City in terms of its debt. It's $500 million in debt. I think the city took a big chunk out of it, or at least the state did. Tell us about that, Christian.
Yeah, sure. So the state overseer of Atlantic City, former U.S. Senator Jeff Chiesa, him and his team struck a deal with Borgata, their parent company MGM, to basically slash the $165 million that the city owed them, brought that figure down to $72 million. So you figure that's a drop of $93 million in potential debt that the city could have had. And so, you know, they still got to pay for this $72 million. That's not going to be an easy task, and they didn't say how they're going to do that. But, you know, you're no longer looking at $150, $160 million Borgata. It's something that is at least more manageable.
It's manageable, but you basically said the thing I was going to say. How do you pay for it?
Right.
Where do you go? Do you go get the credit card out and go bond for it again, which got them in this situation when they bonded for former tax appeals that have gone on? You know, they have a ridiculous amount of debt payments every year. It's like $34 million this year. For that kind of number, you should have great streets, great parks, and all this kind of stuff. They just did it for tax appeals.
I have to think it was discussed, though. In all these negotiations, I have to think Borgata might have said, or Chiesa might have said, here's what I got. He emptied his pockets, pulled them out, and said, here's how much money I have. Let's make a deal for that. I don't know that that happened, but you have to think that in this was a negotiation, that they came upon a figure that they thought the city or the state said that they could pay.
Well, where do they get that money from? And I think that's the $72 million question. Right. Do they go out to bond again? Or do they have some kind of special state funding just to pay that off, which will not go over well up north?
There's also a third option. And personally, if I'm going to make a prediction, I think they're gonna bond for it just because you can do the what's called a Municipal Qualified Bond Act. It gives them the state's rating, basically an A3 rating rather than the C junk rating that the city has. But there's a third option, which is, of course, some sort of sale that generates money. Bader Field, the MUA, you know, in May or June when they can finally move on that. Okay. Maybe they get the $72 million that way. I'm just speculating, but that is a third option. It doesn't have to be from the state. Doesn't have to be borrowed. They could sell an asset, which of course would be controversial, but it's something that could be done.
And this was something Don Guardian started, the mayor, when he was in control. He was trying to negotiate with Borgata to see the state take it through. Do you think he's happy about that?
I spoke with Guardian today, and he notes that Kevin Lavin and the emergency management team, I mean, they were involved in negotiations too. The state was sort of always involved, if not leading the negotiations. And actually, he kind of took issue. Christie has a comment with the announcement, basically, kind of poking fun at Guardian.
Yeah, I noticed that. I
did this and you couldn't. And Guardian kind of said, hey, remember, these guys were leading the negotiations perhaps the whole time. So why blame me?
Those two still can't help zinging each other.
I know. Yeah, it seemed like that it had been quiet for a while. But yeah, you saw it yesterday and today that the Guardian-Christie rivalry or whatever you want to call it is still something that exists.
It's interesting Borgata would take this deal too. Kind of gives them a show like they're committed to the future of the city, as opposed to constantly holding them hostage for the full amount, which I think is something that won't get discussed enough. Like, they're now invested, totally invested in the city. Let's go forward with it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think for a while, Borgata was kind of sort of painted as a villain since, they were withholding property taxes to, offset all the money they were owed, and that made the city's cash crisis, what it was. They almost shut down the city, over the summer over that. And so, to Nick's point, to actually settle and to settle for, half of what you could have gotten, I do think is a good PR move, at least for Borgata and MGM.
I wonder if this changed when MGM came aboard, because it seems like Boyd got out of the got out of Borgata, MGM took full control, and it seemed like it picked up a lot of steam. And you heard stuff, people talking about that. Maybe that's where this whole thing changed.
Yeah, that's certainly a possibility.
One other thing we have to talk about is this weekend is President's Weekend, and this was a weekend that the Revel/10 was to open, and today is Thursday, and right now we're not seeing any indications that the doors are going to open. We'll keep checking, of course. But, Nick, what's going on down there?
I don't know. I'm just going to throw my hands up sometimes when it comes to this issue. I was up there on the boardwalk yesterday, and the line for the job fair... Oh, no, sorry, there wasn't a job fair. The permits aren't in. They're waiting. The city's waiting on some health permits still and a mercantile license. I don't know. I think the narrative is going to turn rather quickly. And he's been kind of coy. He hasn't talked to me lately. Hasn't talked to other reporters or given them a line like I'm in meetings all day. So we'll see where it goes. I'm not optimistic.
Well, we're not optimistic about that, I guess, because we're not hearing much. But, the Urban Land Institute, that meeting, certainly a lot of good takeaways from that. Glad to see that their city is kind of pulling all that together. That's a good plus. And $1 billion is certainly an investment, is nothing to sneeze at. We'll see what it looks like when it all comes together.
I think this was a good week for Atlantic City overall. You settled the Borgata thing. Urban Land Institute gave you positive momentum going forward. For the first time in a long time, it was a really good week for them.
Yeah, with Borgata, something was resolved in Atlantic City. I mean, how many of these issues, the firefighters is ongoing, and if I could just plug in a little bit of news, February 28th is the next, that's the firefighters' day in court, but that's something that's not resolved yet. The bonded debt's not resolved yet. The MUA, something finally got resolved, or at least,
But you'll be watching all that. Nick, you'll be watching the casinos. Meanwhile, we'll take one last listen to the Urban Land Institute, where I think Leo Schoeffler had a lot of good things to say to Christian when we talked to him about his hope. We'll be back again next week. Thanks for listening. This is the Atlantic City Podcast. I'm Buzz Keough.
Christian Hetrick.
I'm Nicholas Huber.
We're diversifying. Look what's going to happen. We are looking at really taking advantage of what Atlantic City has to offer, and not just in terms of tourism. In terms of tourism, we're going to look at these emerging markets like ecotourism and other areas of tourism, right? But we're also going to become a college town. And once you become a college town, you know, that brings in a whole new thinking. People are going to want to live in town. That's a big part of this, is that when you have a college community, people are going to want to live in the community. And that's going to make a change.